Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you aboard with us as we move forward with celebration time. So I know some of you are asking a question, what are we celebrating? I'd rather you change that question just a little bit and ask, who are we celebrating? We are celebrating our nurses. And here to help us do that is a beautiful genius. I used to see this lady a bit when I was at NCG. It had been forever and a day. And I had the fortune of having her agree to join me for this celebration. She is none other than Dr. Beth Neesmith. Dr. Neesmith, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Carl, for having me. The honor and pleasure is mine.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. You know, you and I never met when I was at MCG, but I used to see you because I got around the campus all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, as a social worker, when I was in the gift shops, I had to be at different places in order to get my job done. And so I moved around the campus a lot.
Yeah.
I knew I had seen your face.
<That's great. laughs>
And so we never met, though. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, it's terrific to meet you as well. And thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And you were sharing with me that you have quite a history with MCG.
I do. You know, now we have an opportunity. It's Augusta University.
Yes.
And so I do. But I had my undergraduate degree at Augusta University in 1988. Then I got my master's in 2000. Yeah, 2000. There we go. And then I got my PhD degree in 2007. So, yeah. And then I started working in the emergency room actually as a student when I was, since I wasn't clear what kind of nursing I wanted to do when I was in nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to deliver babies. But then I was like, you know, I kind of like emergency room too. And I was like, huh, I can deliver babies in the emergency room. And
wow.
So I started in 1986 in the emergency department and stayed there for 10 years and was a trauma nurse. And then, you know, I ended up being a trauma clinical nurse specialist. And now I did research in trauma outcomes. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So you've been connected with trauma in one way or another the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're a level one trauma center and we were one of the first around. And I told you, you know, when I was a child, I remembered listening to the radio saying, you know, they taking the trauma patients to MCG, and I always heard that, and what a great thing that was.
Yeah.
And I told you a minute ago how I ended up working there, so it's just terrific. Yeah,
that's amazing to me. That's awesome. You mentioned level one trauma center.
Mm-hmm.
Share with us what the different levels are and what each level designates.
Right. So there are three levels of trauma centers. You know, Augusta University is level one trauma center. And that means that the cases who have the potential for being most injured or needing the most care come. And that designation is from the American College of Surgeons Committee on Trauma. We were state verified. And actually this month, we were going through that American College of Surgeons verification. Mm. It's the highest verification that you can get. And that means that you have to have all specialties available, neurosurgery, orthopedic surgery, general surgeons, at a moment's notice when individuals come in. And it means that the providers there do research in trauma, so they are on the cutting edge, and that we have all the equipment that's available for that. So the highest level of care that injured individuals can need is at a level one trauma center. Now there are level twos and there are level threes, and those individuals are specifically trained in what it means to come in injured. They know when something needs a referral to a larger care, so they are trained in stabilization and transport for trauma centers. And so there are level twos and threes throughout the state. We have collaborating agreements and professional agreements, and they call and they say, hey, we need to transfer this patient, and we get them there as quickly as we can.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, where does the inclusion of the helicopters
Yeah. So that is part of, now, different agencies contract and fly in individuals. Augusta University does not have their own ambulance and helicopter, you know, place, but they bring patients to us. And so pre-hospital is part of the trauma continuum. There's pre-hospital and acute care, and when you go home for care, and then there's rehab with all of that. So the pre-hospital individuals know the criteria when someone is specifically injured, how they might need a level one trauma center. So say person is injured out on the street, and maybe it was a car crash that was greater than 60 miles an hour, or maybe they were a high-speed rollover, or maybe they were a pedestrian hit by a car. All of those things say, oh, this person could have injuries that require the kind of expertise that is at a level one trauma center. And so they call Augusta University's Emergency Communication Center and say, hey, we've got this person. And even if the person or the family is able to say, you know, we have our usual physician in our usual hospital, the pre-hospital individuals say, yes, I respect that. Thank you for that. I'm glad you do. But this person meets trauma criteria, and we think that they probably may need this level of care. And of course, when we see them, we connect back with that person's regular physician and usual hospital kinds of things. But that care is there when you need it. Yeah. And so if they really need, like there's traffic issues or there's even faster things, that's when the helicopter comes in and we have that helipad on top of, you mentioned, the CMC where we have that now.
Yeah,
so that's kind of cool. Awesome. Yeah, it's a terrific thing to be a part of, right? Yeah. That you're involved in this kind of care, and we have it here in Augusta because so many entities throughout Georgia don't have, unfortunately, the benefit of that care. Mm-hmm. Some of the rural areas in Southwest Georgia are really fighting to get that care to where they are also.
Speaking of the plight of our rural citizens
of
the state, is that, you know, share with the community, the listening community, what this mm-hmm. challenge really is about. And bring us up to speed, if you will, as to any progress that might be made.
It is a tremendous challenge. 80% of Georgia's counties do not have the primary care providers that they need. And a lot of that is in rural and South Georgia. That's why there's such a push for nurse practitioners and to be available to provide primary care. Right now, we are working on a initiative called NPEP. It's Nurse Practitioners as Emergency Providers. It's a collaboration that I have with my longtime physician partners in the emergency department. We're working to train nurse practitioners to provide emergency care in those rural areas and have telehealth as a backup for that. So, say the nurse practitioner is in a place where there's not a lot of rural care. Maybe there's a car crash in Southwest Georgia or something like that, and a person comes in, and the nurse practitioner provides that stabilization and screening that I talked to you about, and he or she says, "I really need to consult with the emergency physicians at a tertiary care center, Augusta University." They'll be trained to use the telehealth equipment. People at the other end at the tertiary care center will be right there when the nurse practitioner calls for the consult and says, hey, see this person. This person I have has been in this crash and they have acute care needs. Look at, you know, because you can look at them and you can listen to them through the telehealth equipment. It's really cool technology that we have available to us now. So with these collaborative agreements and the tertiary care backup through telehealth that the nurse practitioner might have in the rural care settings, we're really trying to thread together emergency and primary care in the rural area. So,
wow. And so when we talk about business, a lot of times they talk about infrastructure, what we need for technology not being there, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Are there some needs that are just common across industries? Are there needs that are specific to medicine and what you're trying to do with getting nurse practitioners out into rural areas?
Yeah, so some of the common needs, you know, as we talked about, say with telehealth, you need large bandwidth. So that's a business mm-hmm. perspective, right? So we need to collaborate with business to make sure that rural areas have the bandwidth needed for telehealth. Then you need, as we talked about, the primary care providers out in the rural centers, in the rural areas. Those can be nurse practitioners, physicians, PAs, those kind of individuals. But often, you know, nurse practitioners have now doctoral education, doctorate of nursing practice, and have practiced that we are fighting for Georgia for them to be able to practice to the fullest extent of their education and training now. You know, we just went through a legislative session where we were all kind of fighting to get that, and we continue to work on it. So that's
is that kind of a territorial kind of thing?
You know, I think it's just because what I have found in my work in that area is when we educate individuals about all that nurse practitioners can do, mm-hmm. they say to me, wow, I really didn't know that. You know, for example, acute care, acute gerontologic nurse practitioners, mm-hmm. acute care folks, can do all kinds of procedures that people didn't know that they can do. We train them in our simulation training area that to do sutures and chest tubes and central line placement that people didn't realize that nurse practitioners could do. Mm-hmm. So when they learn that nurses have that kind of training, advanced practice nurses have that kind of training, they're like, wow, I could really use that, you know. And a lot of our colleagues who are out west have used that. And so they know those models. And as they migrate here to Georgia, they are the ones that are saying, hey, you know, I want that. Bring it into my area and let's collaborate to have that kind of care. And our physician colleagues who have trained in the larger academic medical centers are also aware of those team-based models where nurse practitioners and physicians work together to great benefit.
That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating our nurses. And with that in mind, Dr. Neesmith, you mentioned nurse practitioners. You've mentioned them several times.
Yeah.
Could you distinguish for us what makes a nurse practitioner? I know you mentioned some of these procedures, but what are some of the more specific differences when it comes to training, et cetera, between a nurse, for example, a registered nurse, an RN, and a nurse practitioner?
Yeah. So the entry level that we espouse to from the American Nurses Association for nurse practice, bedside nursing practice, is a bachelor's of nursing, bachelor's of science in nursing. And that is when the person comes to college and they get their four-year degree, and that's a pre-licensure thing, and they go and practice at the bedside. That we have about 350 students in that program at Augusta University. We call that pre-licensure, so that's the first step to being a nurse, right?
Okay.
So we also have another degree in which individuals who have a degree maybe in music or business or something else, and they decide that that's not working out for them, they can enter what we call our it's a pre-licensure degree, but it's clinical nurse leader program. In 18 months, those individuals with a bachelor's in something else can come in and finish with a master's in nursing, sit for their registered nurse exam, and get a certification as a clinical nurse leader, all in 18 months.
Wow.
So it's a terrific value for those folks. That's still pre-licensure. It's bedside nursing. We were the first in Georgia to do that, and we are ranked sixth in the nation for that program right now. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Those two things are pre-licensure. So individuals who decide that they want to keep going, and we like for people to keep going in their education and not stop, right?
That's right.
If they want to be an advanced practice nurse, right now you get a master's. By 2025, we're trying to get individuals to have a doctorate of nursing practice. So the model is, you might know, for medicine, people come in as medical assistants, then they might be a PA, then they get a terminal degree to be a physician, an MD degree. Dental is the same. Dental hygiene, you know, you get an entry-level degree, and then you go on to be a dental assistant kind of thing, and then you can get a doctorate for dental. Nursing is now the same. You get a bachelor's for nursing, you can get a master's, and then now doctorate of nursing practice is also that independent practitioner kind of level thing. So for advanced practice nurses, there are several options. People who would like to be a nurse practitioner can provide primary care as a family nurse practitioner. And that is caring for people from cradle to grave, out in the community, taking care of their primary needs. It's a very, very fulfilling role for nurses because they get to take care of the family, right?
Yeah.
You also have pediatric nurse practitioners who provide primary care for kids. For children. Then you have acute care nurse practitioners they take care of adults. These people have experience in critical care and resuscitation and emergency room like I do. These folks, as opposed to our primary care colleagues who work in the community, acute care individuals work in the hospital, many of which work as hospitalist roles. I have lots of colleagues who work in trauma as acute care nurse practitioners. They admit trauma patients. They write admit orders. They see the patients. They round on them independently and with the physicians as their collaborating physicians. So folks who like the hospital environment, the intensity of that critical care and ER, they stay in that role. Then you have certified registered nurse anesthetists, CRNAs. So these are folks who want to provide anesthesia. And they do it for women who are having babies. They do it for people who are in surgery. And we have those programs at Augusta University as well. That's really cool because they go and provide anesthesia for surgical cases. It's a very technical kind of practice, you know, where they're looking at many physiological parameters while the person is having surgery. And it's really kind of cool. So that's a very popular thing. And that one just went into the Doctor of Nursing Practice degree also. Then you have nurse midwives. We have a person on faculty who graduated from a place where she wanted to go out in the rural area and deliver babies and provide women's health. And she has traveled, or wants to travel to Peru and do some things out in, like, and really serve underserved populations through that. So those are five specialties in advanced practice that nurses go out and serve the health needs of individuals.
It's amazing. And so you have them getting these, as you mentioned, advanced degrees.
Yes.
They're able to do the suturing.
Yes.
How about in Georgia, are we at a point yet where our doctorate or nurse practitioners are able to write prescriptions?
They can some. They are still restricted, however, to they can't write Schedule II prescriptions. Those are things like narcotics. And so, but the evidence shows that nurse practitioners provide that safe care, and they're able to do that. So say if you had a patient under your care who was in pain from cancer or acute pain from maybe a car crash, you know, who had lingering pain, right now, nurse practitioners can't write that prescription on their own to provide pain relief for those folks. And that's the thing that we were passionately fighting for at the state legislature during this last legislative session. We didn't get it this time, but we will keep doing it. Georgia's the only state in the union that has that restriction.
Really?
Yes. So it's coming. I know it will be. Yeah.
Because this is a battle that's been going on for a number of years, isn't it?
It has been. Like I said, and I think it's just education, that the onus is on us to provide that education to individuals who don't quite understand that the evidence shows that we provide safe, effective care for the patients we care for. And so we should be allowed to do that. And indeed, the National Academies for Medicine, which used to be the Institute of Medicine, says that nurses should practice at the full extent of their education and training. And so that's the platform that we're going from.
That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful support. I love that.
Thank you.
So how about when it comes to mental health?
Oh, yes. Tremendous need out there. Thank you for bringing that up, because we actually got a grant funded. We have, in the last year, we had almost $3 million in grants. $1.9 million, to take care of behavioral health needs for individuals in Georgia. And we're using telehealth to do that, to reach out to folks in rural area that don't have access to mental health. And as you know, the opioid crisis and substance abuse is a big thing where mental health is needed. We're also working with individuals to provide substance use screening and training for nurse practitioners in the trauma areas, because sometimes, you know, that's a precursor to why trauma happens sometimes. Yeah. And so we owe it to our patients and those who are injured to provide that screening and the care that individuals need. That's their first contact with folks and the first kind of serious thing often that says, I really need some help here, right? And to do that, we're helping that.
You are listening, ladies and gentlemen, to Dr. Beth Neesmith. We're going to be learning more about her journey. She's told us what's been happening academically all the way to the PhD level, but there's so much more to learn about her. We're going to be learning more about Dr. Beth Neesmith. We're also going to be learning more about the practice of nursing. Wow, and all its many facets. Stay with us. We'll be right back right here on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.